Johnny Saddlebags.
Slippery Pete.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Ain't but one thing to do.
Yep, start banking at Community Banks.
Say what now?
We'll grow this town bigger by doing business with Community Banks. That way, our money will get reinvested locally and help small businesses grow and prosper.
Son of a saddle spur, this town will be big enough for the both of us.
Help your community grow. Find your community bank at banklocally.org.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Castro Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this fifth day of July. I hope you all had a great 4th of July. And tonight we have a whole lot to cover, so we're going to get right with it, and tonight we have as our producer the faithful, the dependable, none other than Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie.
Kyle's there. He's a veteran in radio, been there for a long time. And we have out there, way out, the distinguished. What else can I say?
Infamous.
Infamous, right. Pastor Joe Larson, the Parson Joe Larson.
Yeah, I think we'll go with infamous. It's a little, you and I cause enough trouble that word probably applies very well to us.
All righty, we'll go with it. Anyhow, we got a whole lot to do tonight, but we got to get started with, in 4 days, I've lost 4 very good friends. And, it's one of the things that I just was talking about, and I was telling some people today. And as I preached Evelyn Lewis's funeral, her husband Richard and Evelyn were longtime members of Doers of the Word Baptist Church, and Richard was an associate pastor there with us until Evelyn took ill, and then he spent all of his time. They took care of each other. They were very, very faithful. Evelyn was a very faithful wife, a very faithful mother. She stuck by her husband through thick and thin, no matter what. And Richard was a lot like me. He stood up for, he knew what was right, and that would cost you. And like myself, I never got arrested for doing evil. I got arrested for doing the Lord's work, preaching the gospel. And that's every time I've been arrested, it was for charged with criminal assault or whatever, just because I was preaching the gospel, sticks and stones would break my bones, but words apparently hurt a lot of those people out there.
Like the word Jesus Christ is kind of like hitting somebody with a brick. Apparently it's very powerful.
Preaching the gospel out at those bloody abortion mills or wherever. And so anyhow, and when Richard had to go to prison or jail, she would wait for him, but he was there just to do the Lord's work. And Evelyn today graduated. Well, she was put to rest today. She died on Friday. And today we had her funeral, and there were many people there, and some very, very good eulogies were given. And so we just want to say, and people, I were telling people, when at the funeral, everybody's here today but Evelyn. She's in a much, much better place. And when somebody asked me, I hope she's looking down and seeing us. And I told them, I says, no, she's not thinking about us at all. She's seeing things that we can only imagine, things now that, again, when you get absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so anyhow, we want to just again give our most sincere condolences to the husband and family of Evelyn Lewis, and just say, and as I told one of the people, Joe, it'll seem like just yesterday that Evelyn passed away when we go to join her. And I want to say the same thing for another dear friend of mine who I worked with for many years, Barry Sheets. Barry Sheets was a longtime lobbyist and friend and team member of the Center for Christian Values. He also worked with us in Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee. He was a lobbyist, and I worked with Barry for many years. And he was very busy. He worked on as a lobbyist and legislator for the Heartbeat Bill, which we worked on together, Community Defense Act, the Ballot Initiative, so just so many things that he did. And he was faithful, and I had talked to him, and he appreciated our prayers, and we were calling to him the last time I talked to him. He was very ill, and you know, I just definitely got the feeling that he was almost kind of in a hurry to go home to be with the Lord, but didn't want to leave his family. And so I want to say again our most sincere condolences to the family and friends of Barry Sheets.
And also for Pastor Fred Haig.
Well, I was going to do Fred tomorrow. Fred and...
Oh, I'm I've sorry, got, I got ahead because I was thinking, remember that phrase when we... I've got a friend with a 30-year-old water heater that keeps running and the new ones keep breaking down. And he was saying they don't make them like that anymore. Well, some of these people that you've eulogized, they don't make them like that anymore.
No, they don't.
They really don't. Not the people I've seen coming up. They're not like some of those like Fred and Barry and Evelyn and Richard.
Well, I wanted to say that there'll be a memorial service for Barry. That's going to be held this coming Saturday, July 8th at 5 p.m. at the Good News Baptist Church at 4045 Georges, that's Georges Creek Road in Gallipolis, Ohio. And that's, again, this coming Saturday. And there'll be no calling hours, so... Again, I wanted to say for both these families, and we're going to talk about Pastor Fred, who was one of my associate pastor for many, many, many years, and a great preacher, Bible teacher, and we're going to be talking more about him. And Andre, who was a friend and who had a terrible, terrible childhood. He had a very, very rough life, and I've known him since 1958. We're going to be talking about the two of them in the next couple of days. So, but tonight we wanted to go to the Word of God, to the 94th Psalm, and let's take it verse by verse. Okay, go ahead and read verse 1.
Well, can I read the subtitle? In my King James Version, it says, "How long shall the wicked triumph?"
All right.
O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself.
Well, you know, one of the things, you talked about your subtitle. Do you know your subtitle is mentioned 18 times in the Psalms alone, and then it's mentioned I don't know how many times in the Proverbs. But here, so he says, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Well, you know, there's a difference between revenge and vengeance, between revenge and vengeance. A lot of people don't know that. In fact, most people don't know that. If you ask most people, they wouldn't be able to tell you. But would you know what the difference between revenge and vengeance is?
I sure do, because vengeance belongs to God alone.
So vengeance isn't
something he tells men not to do. Revengeance belongs to him.
So vengeance would be an act of justice. Okay,
right.
Okay, so
And because we're sinners, we cannot really do justice, can we?
Okay. So now revenge is an act of passion, if you will. So revenge can be, it can be a just, but maybe not. But
it's a sin. It's anger. It's pride. It's many, can be many things. Often I've seen it in people. It's pride. It's anger. It's hate. And we are supposed to what? Forgive.
Well, we are, huh? Well, what are? Well, that's something. Let's take a look at that, because as we go through this, let's take a lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, and render reward to the proud. Okay, so what kind of reward would God render to the proud? What? How? You have LGBTQ Pride Week, or month, you know, and you've got all these people that are promoting pride. Obama, Biden, and every one of the ungodly antichrist people up there today. So what kind of reward?
For evil doing would be just judgment and justice.
Okay. He goes on to say, how long shall the wicked triumph? Again, that is for many, many times that is spoken in the scripture again.
Yeah. Well, the psalmist is crying out to God. He is really praying. He wants judgment to come upon, judgment to fall on these wicked people.
All right. How long shall I utter and speak?
Right?
Yeah.
I call it a plea here.
How long shall I utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? When they boast themselves.
Well, look at today. When you said that, it just hit me so many. Who's boastful? I think of Chuckie Schumer and what's his name? Shifty Schiff out there. You know, he was the biggest liar, and he was happy. Oh, I'm honored to be the, you know, big liar. And they're boasting in their sin, and that's exactly what the psalmist is saying, right?
Well, he's referring to him as insolent. Insolent in their sin, and that is, again, is insolent seen to be obnoxious before Almighty God?
Yeah, I'd say the least it's obnoxious.
They break in pieces thy God, O Lord, and they afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Boy, I'm going to tell you that sounds a whole lot like Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and you know, the whole pro-death Democratic Party, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, abortion would be part of that, and so would euthanasia.
Yet they say
motherless. Quite often the babies that are aborted are the ones that don't really have a father in the home, are the biggest portion of abortions.
Yep. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall God of Jacob regard it. So they somehow they look around, they can't see God, so they figure God can't see them. Is that the way it works?
Or they don't believe. They believe, well, what was the one theory? That there is a God, and he just set things into motion, and then he stepped back and is letting it go. So, yeah, well, if that's the case, then, you know, what I do, he's not concerned about.
All right. He goes on to say, understand, you brutish among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chaseth the heathen, shall he not correct him? Shall he not teach knowledge? And shall he not know? So here...
Right, there's almost a whole sermon there, because when you look around, the Bible says you can find God in his creation. He makes himself known through his creation. And that line, you know, if you have an ear, you realize you have this ear that hears, and the creator that made that ear To me, it's unbelievable that he can't hear, and he made the eye that he can't see what's going on when he made these things for us. So that he who created these things has to understand them better than we do, and would have to be so far above us, and they just can't grasp that, can they?
Well, what about he that teaches men knowledge shall not he know? Okay, so does man have a remarkable ability, I should say, to assimilate knowledge? I mean, is that something that could have evolved, a man's ability to assimilate knowledge? I mean,
well, seems like it has to be more of a gift than of something that evolved. Because Adam started out, when God made Adam, he filled him with all kinds of knowledge. So man came with a brain capable of tremendous knowledge.
So then you believe that that to assimilate knowledge, to have the capability of doing that, that could never come about by just a gathering together of a bunch of unthinking atoms or a primordial slime pit where...
Well, even a dog can learn a few tricks. They can be, you know, if you punish a dog for going in the house and put him outside, different things, you know, the old newspaper trick. You can train things, but to think and create... No, that didn't evolve. Learning through experience, trial and error, some things can be learned, but thinking, creating, our artistic abilities, our engineering and math abilities, no, those don't come through evolution.
So you're thinking that a dog can think, but a dog can't reason? I mean, my dog knows that for certain things he'll get rewarded, for certain things he'll get punished. But
right.
Can he reason why one is right and why one is wrong?
No. He just learns to do the things. If he wants a reward, he does the things that will bring a reward and tries to avoid the things that bring unpleasantness. That's
okay.
All.
Well, then let me ask you this. Can Joe Biden reason between what's right and what's wrong? I mean, I'm looking, and it looks like he's kind of like my dog, okay? And Adam Schiff and these people, they don't seem to know right from wrong at all, do they?
I'll tell you what. I think to them it's a big game, and they go by that. End justifies the means. Schiff knows he lies. He's proud of being a liar. All he cares about is winning and power and being part of his socialist agenda to take over the, you know, United States and bring power to his party.
So he mocks and he laughs about lying.
Right.
They want to promote things. The latest, they want to really push it hard. They want to legalize pedophilia. They want to change the name from pedophile to what was the latest term they wanted? Minor attractions.
Minor attracting adult.
And they laugh at this evil. They laugh at this wickedness that they want to, you know, as they want to molest children. And
they're laughing at God. Really, they're laughing at God, His creation, His commandments, because they really. Although they might believe there is a God, they do not really believe in Him or believe He's in charge. I think many of them just think He's that God that created the universe and step back and letting it go and waiting to see what happens. And I think they are in denial that there is any justice or judgment in the world.
Okay, so you started out by saying to God to whom vengeance belongeth, to God who avenges. Okay. I'm going to turn over to Romans 12 for a minute here. In Romans 12, okay. I want to read verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Lord, yep.
Okay, so now here, saith the Lord. Now he says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, let me ask you this. So, he's referring to, now who's he speaking to? He's speaking here to, he's talking to the church, isn't he?
Right, he's talking to the brethren, the family.
Now, okay, so let me ask you a question here. If you and I could be enemies, and we're still saved, we could still be two Christians, and we can be enemies, and if he's referring for, let's just say that you and I come to a disagreement about something, let's just say I raised bigger tomatoes than you did and kind of really upset you, because, well, what can I say, right? Anyhow, but here...
My taste is better.
So, yeah, all right. So when we look at these things, now there's a difference, though. There's a difference between our enemies. We're to forgive our enemies. What about God's enemies? Are we to forgive?
We are to hate what God hates and love what God loves, and enemies are to be thwarted. We're to rebuke them, reprove them, and if we have to, keep them away, right?
Right. So God's enemies, but God's enemies can also be our enemies, too. But we're going to deal with this in this passage here as we continue. He goes on to say, blessed is the man whom thou chastisest, O Lord, and teachest him out of the law. If thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow him. Now listen, here's the answer to that. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? These are the Lord's enemies, aren't they?
Yes.
So unless the Lord...
Well, here he said, remember back when you were in Romans 12, live, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, we know that the violent men out there are not going to let the righteous just live peaceably. The violent men, the only thing people like that understand is violence. You have to stand up to them. They have to be stopped. You can't just, let them be.
All right. We're running out of time, so I've got to go.
Sorry.
Unless the Lord had been my helper, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? That goes with what we were talking about earlier this week, about having...
The Democratic Party. Right now,
these,
the government, the throne of iniquity.
It has become totally corrupt, hasn't it?
Yes.
They gather themselves themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood.
Democrat Party.
That is the Democrat. The Lord is my defense and my God is my rock of refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and cut them off in their own wickedness. Yes, the Lord our God shall cut them off. We'll be back right after this.
Why are you marching, son? I'd really like to know. Is it because of Valley Forge or perhaps the Alamo? Or one if by land, two if by sea? A trumpet's call, the will to be free? What of a man who stood straight and tall, who wept silent tears when he saw brave men fall? No matter, no difference, the blue or the gray, all were his brothers. How often he'd pray. And what of Antietam? That now peaceful stream where the water blood red glittered and gleamed. Appomattox, Chickamauga, Vicksburg, Bull Run, Cumberland, Gettysburg, and then Washington. Why are you marching, son? In Flanders Field, How proud were they whose forms beneath the poppies lay? Men who saw Verdun, died at the Marne, Soissons, and those who tried the fearful foe at Chateau Thierry, who fought, bled, whose hearts grew weary, but in whose minds one thought kept churning, that the torch of liberty keep burning. Why are you marching, son? The plain swarmed in, and the rising sun glowed fiercely on the evil done to men whose blood runs through our veins. Men who died, whose remains lie forever locked in waters deep. Now is it right that they should sleep while the warm sea laps at a twisted hull and see the torch of liberty grow dull? Anzio, Cassino, Poe, Saint-Mary-Glace, Limon, St. Lô, Garda Lake, and Buchenwald. On the roll is called. And why? Why are you marching, son? Bugles shrilled in the frozen night, and at first dawn, the awful sight of seas of men, row after row left to die on bloodstained snow. Busan, Pyongyang, Suwon, Gyeongju, and blood red ran the swift Yalu. In South Vietnam, the big guns roared, and once again we fought a war. To honor a pledge our nation gave, to help that little country save her people from the certainty that she'd be ruled by tyranny. No matter where the big guns roar, our fighting men, like those before, take the torch we all held dear and face freedom's enemies without fear. Our fathers died from sea to sea and blessed the torch of liberty. Why? Why are you marching, son?
Alrighty, we are back, and over the weekend, Joe, the sodomite parades were, they were all over the weekend, all across major cities here, and "We're coming for your children" was the group. That was their call as they marched down there. "We're coming for your children."
Children. We told people that was the end goal. We warned them years ago that we called it originally when it broke out. I called it the homosexual movement. They were moving for acceptability and power, and they would turn around, and what they would do is take advantage of everything they could and make it to make it normal, natural, and desirable. Remember?
Yep. I remember reading how we're going to feminize your young men. This was the call that they had out there. Well, they say, "We're coming for your children," but old John Wayne was just talking about some of those old veterans, and they may be coming for our children, but I think they're going to end up getting us old veterans, and they're not going to care much for that, are they?
No, they're not. Some of us, like you said, we'd rather die on our feet and live on our knees, or let our children and grandchildren be corrupted. Some of us are not going to put up with that. I want to read something from a man. His name, where did I put it? I had it right here. Abraham Lincoln. And here's what he had to say back in 1838. And boy, does it kind of apply today. "At what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. Let every American, every lover of liberty, every well-wisher to his posterity, swear by the blood of the revolution never to violate in the least particular the laws of the country, and never to tolerate their violation by others. And we know when they said the laws of the nation, we talked about this on our 4th of July program. The founding fathers said what? The laws were based on God's Ten Commandments and the teaching of the New Testament, which happens to be the very gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to listen to people like Lincoln today, right? Because he was right on the money.
Absolutely. He was, and we've quoted him for years. It's an interesting thing. Joe Rogan discusses how corporate media, big tech, and the FBI rigged the election against Donald Trump. And, of course, you know, what's been all over the news here is the federal judge limited Obama's officials from contracting social media and
right.
censoring, violating our First Amendment. They wanted to absolutely, totally eliminate our First Amendment rights, freedom of speech.
It was U.S. District Judge, Court Judge Terry A. Daugherty, I think is how you say it, Daugherty.
And that was a Trump-appointed judge. And so here now, it's all you're hearing how they're going to find a way around this. And so here, you know, they, you know, people ask me, I had some people ask me yesterday, why aren't they calling the White House the Black House? That would be more politically correct. I mean, wouldn't that be to call it the Black House? Well, I said, you know, you'd be better off to call it a House of Ill Repute. Okay.
That's exactly what I was thinking. We think so much alike. My mind said House of Ill Repute, not Black.
Right.
It's a house of sin.
If they wanted to
remember that little song, The House of the Rising Sun?
Now, if I wanted to find out who's bringing the cocaine into the house, I would ask Hunter Biden, because he knows more about cocaine smuggling than anybody, doesn't he?
I would say so. Buying, selling, using, dealing. Yeah, I mean, he pretty much is an expert in drugs.
You're hearing those on PMSNBC. PMSNBC is already saying, what's the big deal? Who got hurt by this? Okay, so, yeah, you know, look. So what? If we turn the White House into a crack house, what's the big difference? Well, probably right now with those that are in there, no difference at all. But
I had a little sneaky thought. What if that white powder wasn't cocaine? What if it was something like ricin or some other very deadly, dangerous chemical? They don't seem to mention that. If cocaine could get inside into the West Wing, there's some other things that are highly poisonous that in the past, remember, they were mailing different drugs in the mail that would kill people? And what if it was one of those drugs, not just a little cocaine? Fentanyl, if somebody touched it and played with it, could kill them.
Well, the people on the left are the ones that do those type of things, and they don't usually do it to each other unless they want to do one of those betrayals to boost their own stock. But Joe Biden's White House payroll, Joe, has hit a historic high of 524 employees at a taxpayer cost of $52 million per year. $52 million a year we pay for Joe Obama's staff. What do you think about that?
I think that's the highest number of staff we've ever had for president, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep, by far.
Well, you know, this judge that issued this ruling that we were just talking about, he did a 120-page opinion. Now, he didn't do it because he just likes to hear himself think or talk or write, but he took step by step by step, went through all the different things that had happened, laid them out. And so this opinion is a lot more than just an opinion, because he cites a lot of facts. And that's the reason he went to all that trouble to do that many pages. So that's a lot of proof on an opinion. Generally, something like this might be a 5 or 10-page opinion. 120 pages filled with all kinds of examples and facts. That really, to me, gives it power and authority that this temporary injunction is going to be made permanent very soon.
All righty. Let me ask you, if it gets to the, they said they're going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. If it gets there,
sure.
I think this time, after their last ruling, they just had this other ruling on the rights to, that woman's right not to have to, what was it, to bake us out of my cake or whatever.
One was a cake. One was they have an internet put up stuff. There was a web designer designing a web for them.
Yeah. So it would look like that if it did get to the Supreme Court, we'd win that one for sure.
Well, we know everywhere the left has gone bonkers, and all of a sudden, boy, they're back to court packing. You remember all those years that they had a liberal court? You never heard one word about court packing, about changing the number of justices, until we got more conservatives on the bench than liberal, and all of a sudden their reaction is to freak out. We've got to pack the court with what? Liberal judges. We've got to add all these more judges because this is unfair. We lost a couple of cases. This is not fair. These people can't stand to lose. It's all about power. It's not about law, the Constitution, the people. It's all about power, and you see it every time they lose. They just totally freak out. They don't analyze and say why or what can we do to change something. They get angry and violent, and they go for the, we got to rebuild the whole system.
Well, here, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, along with Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, said, go ahead, take it to the court. We'll win there, too. Take it to the Supreme Court. We're gonna win there, too. And I believe they would, too. But here's the best thing, Joe. It was an Independence Day victory on the 4th of July. It's about free speech. And that's what it was all about. A judge grants preliminary injunction prohibiting the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Department of Injustice.
Injustice, yeah.
And other agencies from colluding with big tech to censor Americans. And so there you go.
And members of his cabinet and his own press secretary was named, Karine Jean-Pierre was named as having to keep her mouth shut.
Well, Joe Obama Biden was throwing a tissy fit. I mean, he was really throwing a fit about that. Speaking of that, here, this is irony right here. If I was to say to you, Merrick Garland has to be the most corrupt attorney general in my lifetime, but the one that would be next to him, I mean, we haven't had one in a long time that wasn't corrupt. I don't know how far back you'd have to go. But next to Merrick Garland, I would have to say that Eric Holder would be the next mostly corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing
about
him. I would have
to totally agree with that.
Here, Eric Holder has come out and said that there should be no Trump pardon unless he shows remorse. Now, who was it that lied to Congress under oath?
He was the one.
Oh, that is right. Eric Holder. Who is the one that sold guns who gave guns to the Mexican drug cartels, and they used those rifles to kill Americans.
To kill agents. And border. Yeah. That was him. He was the one, wasn't he?
Yeah, it seems like he was the one. Face the Nation host Margaret Brennan asked,
get away with treason. He was the same attorney general that let Hillary get away with committing treason and all kinds of crimes, right? Was there
absolutely. Absolutely. Face the Nation host Margaret Brennan asked Eric Holder about a possible Trump pardon. Biden had his main political opponent recently arrested and charged with federal crimes. Margaret Brennan asked Eric Holder, who was previously held in criminal contempt of Congress for failure to turn over documents related to the Fast and Furious scandal, if he would counsel the next president to consider a pardon Trump. Before I let you go, I want to ask you to put on your Attorney General hat again. Would you counsel President Biden or the next president, whenever he is, to consider a pardon for the 45th President of the United States, either before or after theoretical conviction? And Eric Holder said no. Anyhow, unless he really repented. But yeah. Another thing here, too. This is interesting, Joe. Joe Rogan discusses corporate media, Big Temp, and FBI rigged the election against Donald Trump. Now, Joe Rogan knows that the FBI rigged the election against Donald Trump. You know it. People listening to us out here know it. But tonight, you had, Brett Baer and Brett Hume. Now, I expected more out of Brett Hume, but lately I've really been disappointed. You know, Brett Hume's been around for a while, and he should know better.
He should. But he's got the knowledge, experience, and he's seen what's been going on.
But these, both of him, both those, Brett Hume and Baer, are very, very anti-Trump. And their bias comes out, you know. A real journalist, if you're an actual journalist, your bias is not to show. But especially with Brett Baer, I mean, his teeth show. Whenever they talk about Donald Trump, he is an avid anti-Trumper. And Brett Hume, I know, again, I am very disappointed with him. You expected
I'd like
better,
to
but
play poker with him because he cannot have a poker face. All you have to do is say Trump, and his face goes. You know, you can see it.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
You know, we're watchmen. I've got two stories that I need to get out that I want to get out because being watchmen on the wall, there are two stories that are not getting the media attention they deserve. In fact, they're hiding. The first one is about the United Nations and Joe Biden. A research director at the Heartland Institute, a best-selling author, is warning us. Justin Hoskins is a big author, written about these proposals that are being considered at the United Nations next year, just weeks before the 2024 election. Now, he's calling this a emergency. He said this proposal they're working on might be the biggest attempted power grab in the history of the United Nations. And if it's approved, the United States, as we know it, would cease to exist. Now, that sounds pretty bold, but when you read more, it's true. This summit of the future, these bureaucrats are trying to make a pact for the future, and it's going to solidify all kinds of reforms that they've been bringing up. And what it's going to do is bring a plan for a new emergency platform that will give tremendous powers to the UN in the events of a future global shock, another pandemic, etc. And it's going to give standing authority to convene and operate automatically on an emergency platform, and it will have power over all the nations because everybody who signs on to it will have to go along and agree with it and obey it. So they are looking to get unprecedented authority over all the public and private sectors all over the world in the name of some yet unknown crisis. And Joe Biden is for this. In fact, he's pushing it. The administration totally backs this platform, along with other things that they're putting in this called our common agenda. So Biden has already agreed in advance to sell us out by giving his word that he wants to give this great control over the lives of Americans to the United Nations.
He's been working for foreign countries ever since, even when he was vice president, even when he was a senator. But when he was vice president, he was owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Red Chinese. They owned him.
He's always been a corrupt, crooked politician, anti-American, And now this is the proof. I mean, he's already told his people, the negotiators, he's going to accept this. He wants it. He's pushing it. He thinks it's a great idea. In other words, we have another pandemic. The United Nations will be in control. And if we sign on as a country, as a signatory to this, it means that they can tell us if we can go to work, go to school, if we have to take a new kind of vaccine, if we have to whatever, and we have to go along with it. So I doubt this will ever happen. But, folks, this proves what kind of dictator this man is, the kind of authority that his party wants to have. They want to bring us under the control of a one-world order, and it will be some kind of socialist communist government, and you will never be free again if we keep electing people like this to office. This party has to be beaten. We have to get out and vote. We have to bring in some good Christian conservative people who will restore the Constitution, or we will be a nation gone under, as Ronald Reagan said.
Well, you know, there's an article out there by Ethan Huff, and this was very interesting. By 2030, each family will only be allowed 3 items of new clothing a year and no more meat. This is people say, nah, come on, that's over the top. In a 2019 report entitled The Future of Urban Consumption in a 1.5 Celsius World was released that outlined targets for the cities of the world to reach by the year 2030. This is what we've talked about time and time again. You know, now you've got the 15-minute cities here. Cleveland is a 15-minute city. So here, in order to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and align themselves with the tenets of the 2015 Paris Agreement, that report has since been reemphasized in the year 2023, revealing that the plan is to limit the amount of clothing a person buys to just 3 new garments per year, as well as restrict air travel to just 1 flight every 3 years. Oh, and no more meat eating, period. The plan is
under our common agenda, by the way. You'll find that information when I talked about those proposals that are going to go into this whole big package. That proposal you're reading is under our common agenda.
Yep,
our
I know.
Common, agenda.
The plan is to implement these green restrictions, starting with countries that consume the most. The more likely means Western countries like the United States and Canada that are considered to be the first world. Through the designation is rapidly changing, the more these two countries get flooded with illegal immigrants. And by the way, Biden, like I said, he was owned by the Red Chinese. They've been bringing in thousands and thousands and thousands of young Chinese nationalists. Biden is bringing in thousands and thousands of young Chinese nationalists, men of military age, men of fighting age. He's bringing them in here under orders of his Chinese masters and people.
Right, we'll do that next. I want to add something to what you were just talking about with this agenda. Remember, Biden is pushing equity, folks. People out there still keep thinking that means equality. No. Equality means we all have an equal opportunity, not an equal result. Equity means we all have to have the same result. So, since you can't make everybody wealthy, we can't do that. So what can the government do? They can make everybody poor. And then they can make everybody equal in poverty, which is equity. That's where the idea, the 3 sets of clothes and the different things, because then there'll be equity. And the next thing will be you can only have a certain size apartment, you have to live in a building with other people. They're trying to get rid of single-family homes, and that way, well, it's not fair. Somebody has a little apartment, so we're going to get rid of the houses and put everybody in an apartment. See, instead of trying to say everybody deserves a house, or just try and bring people up, no, they have to have people who have bring them down. It's always evil.
But it's not everybody, Joe. It's not everybody. The 2% of the collective, the Communist Party, the 2%. They will have free access to the countryside. They won't have restrictions. Mm-hmm. Everybody else will be restricted. They'll have to live within the city limits and only have to go to the countryside with permission. This is, and then people are listening to us say, where are you guys getting this stuff? We're getting it directly from them. Yeah, we're getting it directly from, look.
Al Gore wrote about this in his great book that...
Joe, I sit in their meetings. Yeah. Forget about the book. I sit in their meetings. I'm listening to them here. So, you know, forget about their book. This is where they're and this here in Ohio, NOAACA is the Ohio version of Agenda 2030. And this is what these people here want to do here in Ohio. Now, we've been on top of them going right after them, and they hate it, the fact that people are on to what they're up to. They really hate it. But, you know, they've got all the fake news media covering their back. And I would have to say here in our area, I mean, all of it, but the worst would be Spectrum One. Spectrum One, I would have to say, would be the most vile in the situation. They would be the Spectrum One, my opinion, is the most homosexual, the most pro-abortion. They would be the ones, I think, that would really push hard to legalize pedophilia. They are the most, well, I would say liberal, if you will, radically liberal in the area. The others aren't good, but Spectrum One, I would say, is out there. It's would have to be the worst.
You're right. So, well, if you look at that homosexual manifesto that you and I have talked about many times in the radio about how they're going to go after our sons and feminize them and convert them into sodomy, the more radical people, the more they follow that kind of, the more into sin they are.
Absolutely. We're coming up to a break here in a minute. I think what I'm going to do, Joe, today, I think we may do a couple more articles and then open the phone lines early because people have been really wanting to call in. No.
Okay. Well, we've got to finish that Gordon Chang's warning, too. Yep.
Alrighty, here. Certificates to conceal the fact the COVID vaccines are a common cause of death. The COVID vaccines are a common cause of death. Where have you heard that before, Joe? Okay.
I think on this program.
I think we were one amongst the very, very first that warned 3 weeks before the first person had taken a COVID shot. We were telling people these are not vaccines. These are not vaccines. We were telling people these are bioweapons. Don't take it. We were telling people that all of the laboratory animals tested died. Death certificates list all the known and suspected causes of death that played some role in the demise of the descendant. The person who fills out the death certificate writes a text description of the cause of death, but the final ICD codes are determined by the CDC bureaucracy. States send all their death certificates to centers for disease control for analysis. The CDC uses algorithms to match the cause of death to its correspondent ICD codes. The International Classification of Disease is a medical classification list provided by World Health. We're coming up to a break. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. So we'll be back after this. There's a whole lot more to come. Don't go away. You miss a really good show. We're counting down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.